Welcome to the Heartpire. This is the first episode in a little bonus story about Logan a few years before the events of the first season. It's actually based on a sort of game I'm running on social media, where each day I post a poll detailing a scene and followers can vote on Logan's next actions. If you would like to join, head over to either Tumblr or Twitter. It had been a long while since Logan had worn clothes of such fine material, which told you a lot, considering what he was wearing had been out of fashion for at least a decade and spotted several tears and burn marks. But he had found, in an assuredly legal manner, a cape of such beauty and fine quality that the shoddy condition of the rest of his outfit was surely not to be noticed. It was black velvet on the outside, with a golden seam, and a brightly patterned red and golden lining on the inside. It was inevitably going to distract from his wide, once black trousers that he had laced to his lower legs with a red satin band, as the fashion of the time dictated. He had been invited to the feast for Lady Enid's 20th birthday. Or more precisely, he had invited himself to the party. She was the only remaining child of Count Yonek, ruler over the province of Moregi, at the center of the kingdom of Kalhemma. Logan had arrived in Moregi with his crew only a few months ago, joining up with the city of Ranka, which had set up camp near one of the Great Lakes. It was a strange feeling to finally have something resembling a home again, but he thought he might like it. A place he knew he could always return to. A place where someone was happy to see him. A place where he could feel useful. But it also meant caring for people and their well-being, and that care had been what drove him to this feast. Count Yonek was a mysterious fellow. With each new hardship in his life, he withdrew further from the public eye. First the death of his eldest son in battle, then the death of his wife to illness. And one couldn't disregard the rumor that it was supposed to be him, not his brother, on the royal council. But something nefarious must have happened to change that fact. The inhabitants of Moregi didn't mind him much as a ruler. Though distant, taxation was fair under his rule, and the public administration was more helpful than cumbersome. People grew even more appreciative after he started building the new sick house that was supposed to be staffed with the best doctors from far and wide. The last brick was set, and people waited patiently for it to open. The first doctor arrived, and people kept waiting. Winter came around, children started to get sick, the elderly needed more care than before, and people became less patient. But still, days and weeks and months passed, and the doors to the sick house remained closed. Rumors started cursing through the province that the sick house had only been built for the rich and powerful, but no one actually ever saw anyone enter or leave the building. Something strange was going on, and Logan's interest was piqued. Logan approached the castle of Count Yonek on foot, a square, white building with an inner court that was rumored to have one of the most magnificent gardens in the kingdom. But, of course, no one of Logan's status had ever seen it. He weaved his way through the crowd, blending in with the rest of the aristocracy to draw as little attention from the guards as he could. He entered the main ballroom, frescoes of local sceneries adorning the otherwise white and yellow walls, while the long tables that usually stood in the middle of the room had been pushed to the side to make space for the mass of guests. At the back of the room were wide arched windows, revealing the lush green of the prized inner court. Logan recognized a few of the guests, children of the aristocracy who liked to frequent the same sites as him, although they were usually there for very different reasons. He let his gaze wander over the crowd until he spotted Lady Enid. She was a short, plump girl with curly light brown hair pinned into an updo with a few strands running down her neck and shoulders. She was wearing a long-sleeved, dark green velvet dress that complemented her fair skin perfectly. The red wine in her almost empty glass had clearly already had its effects on her, visible by how rosy her cheeks were and how her laugh carried through the entire room. She was standing next to another girl her age, who was giggling along to whatever so amused Lady Enid. Logan spotted a waiter carrying a tray of wine glasses and stepped forward, flashing the waiter a charming smile as he grabbed two of the full glasses and drifted through the crowd towards Lady Enid. As he approached, their eyes met, and Lady Enid paused her laughter. He smiled at her and held one of the glasses out to her.
"My dearest Lady Enid, only the best wishes for your birthday. It is so pleasant to see you again."
She looked at Logan for an instant with a polite smile, clearly unsure if she had actually seen him before. He nodded amiably to her companion before turning back to Lady Enid.
"We met at the opera in Yodash a while ago. Oh, it must have been almost 3 years now. My name is Havard Gardet. You might remember my father, the supervisor of the mining district in Red Hill.
Of course, none of it was true. But every person of a certain standing had been at the opera in Yodash in the last couple of years. And a lady like her was introduced to so many new people on such an outing that it was rather unlikely she remembered them all. The trick was to use the names of the lower nobility, people she might have heard of before, but who weren't important enough for her to remember. She slowly accepted the glass Logan was offering her, her mind still trying to remember him, and he held out his newly free hand for her empty glass. She snapped out of her confusion and smiled back at him, handing him the second glass. He turned around and flagged a waiter down, who hurried over to take the empty glass away.
"Yes, of course, Sir Gardet. We went to see the Daughter of the Sun, if my memory serves me right. Such an unusual piece, if I dare say so."
"Just call me Havoc, my dear. And yes, it was quite innovative. But it is always interesting to hear what new approaches these artists find to music."
"You are quite right, but I do have to say that I might prefer the more long-established pieces. The familiarity of them is rather pleasing to my ears." Lady Enid had presented the key to her trust on a platter to him without even noticing it, and Logan knew exactly how much he needed to agree with her and how much he needed to challenge her assumptions for the conversation to engross both women. He didn't know much about the current trends in the operatic world, not having had the opportunity to frequent the scene in a long while, but he knew enough about the traditional pieces to have a long and deep discussion with his new companions. After a while, when he felt that he had built enough familiarity between him and Lady Enid, he leaned closer to her and whispered in her ear.
"My dearest, would there be a place away from this crowd where we could talk in private? This noise is starting to give me a headache, but I would only reluctantly leave your company."
Lady Enid held Logan's gaze for an instant before quickly looking away, a blush creeping up her cheeks. She handed her glass to her friend. "Don't wait for me." She held out her hand so Logan could offer his elbow to her and then led him towards the back of the room. They stepped out into the inner court. A path led along the outer wall of the castle, covered by a balcony on the first floor. Round columns stood along the path every few meters, connected by intricately carved arches. The center of the inner court held a famed garden. The area closest to them was flat, mostly comprised of flower beds and benches to rest. But the further away from the main entrance, the higher the bushes got, and the more trees could be spotted, providing more spaces for privacy.
"You have such a beautiful home, and this garden is truly breathtaking. But, my dear, which spot would you consider your favorite?"
"Surely you must think that the garden is the most interesting place in our palace. It is the perfect place to rest and have a conversation."
"If it truly is your favorite, I would be pleased to stay here. But I wish nothing more than to get to know you better."
Lady Enid remained silent for a while as they strolled along the side of the building, a row of rose daphne shrubs separating them from the inner garden.
"There is a room that I'm quite fond of."
"Would you show it to me?"
"Oh, but this part of the castle is so much nicer. My parents have invested so much time and money into making it perfect."
Logan stopped and turned to face his companion.
"Lady Enid, I'm not searching for perfection. Isn't connection what makes a place important? Isn't it the memories and the stories we can tell about it that make it worthwhile to stay in? I'm certain that the inner garden has its merits, but if we only had one last place we could visit before our passing, which one would you choose?"
She looked out over the garden, then smiled shyly and looped her arm around Logan's again. She led him further down the path towards the southern wing of the castle. They headed back inside the building, past the guards stationed around the ground floor, and up a flight of stairs towards the third floor. So high up, the castle was almost calm, as if they were all alone, the only noise accompanying them the low hissing of the gas lamps. Lady Enid led them to a brown door that looked exactly like any other doors in the corridor, as if there was nothing special behind it. But what they stepped into definitely took Logan's breath away. It was a greenhouse, no bigger than two adjacent bedrooms, packed to the brim with various plants and flowers. The ceiling at the far wall had been replaced with glass panes, although they were covered in moisture from the humidity present in the room. It smelled delightful. Logan hadn't known he had missed the sweet scent the greenhouse emitted until then, having gotten too used to the rotten smell entrenched in cities. Lady Enid let go of his arm and stepped up to a column of shelves attached to the wall on their left.
The shelves were filled with small pots with various seedlings. She reached her hand out and gently ran her fingers over a fresh leaf.
Did you grow these?
These ones, yes. The bigger plants belong to my mother. I'm just trying to take care of them for her.
It is truly an enchanting place. You can feel the love coursing through it.
I don't know if I'm doing a good job at it.
The plants all look lush and cherished. I'm sure your mother would be proud of what you have accomplished here.
Some of them have brown spots. And I had to dispose of an azalea bush last week because bugs had gotten to it.
Even the most prolific of gardeners has to say goodbye to a plant here and there.
There used to be more plants in here, but when my mother couldn't take care of them anymore, and I had to take over, a lot of them died. It took me a while until I knew how to look after them correctly.
You truly must have loved your mother.
Yes, a lot. We spent most of our time after my brother's passing in here. She taught me everything I know about taking care of plants. We were even able to grow a few medicinal herbs when she started getting sick.
I'm deeply sorry for your loss.
Of course, herbs didn't help much, and Mother's condition grew worse by the day, even after Father sent for the rare and expensive plants from faraway places. All they did was alleviate the pain. The longer it went on, the more lethargic she got, until she seemed like nothing more than a life-size doll.
It must have been a dreadful time for you.
I just want to make her happy. That's why I don't like it when the plants die.
My dear, I'm sorry I brought you somewhere so heavy with somber memories.
Oh, no, I should apologize. I didn't mean to grow so melancholic. The wine must be getting to my head.
Should we take a little stroll? I'm sure there are other wonderful places to discover in the swing of the castle.
Fall 2022. October Jones and Fish with Legs return in their most daring adventure yet.
We're looking for the elemental creature of Earth.
Yeah, I was building to that.
Oh, okay. Suspense, thrills, intrigue.
Bah! October and Fish is a buddy adventure about me.
October!
And my friend.
Fish with Legs.
And in season 2, we're going on all new adventures.
I'm gonna face a dragon.
And I'm gonna solve a murder mystery.
And together, we're traveling to the distant land of deserts and ancient treasures, Sandlantis!
Find October Jones and Fish with Legs on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else.
And visit us at octoberandfish.ca for pages from October's scrapbook,
research journal,
and other bonus content. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
As previously mentioned, if you want to help guide Logan on his journey, head over to the show's Tumblr or Twitter page to vote in the daily polls. Follow the show on social media for updates on when season 2 will launch and on when the book adaptation for season 1 will be released. If you want to support the show, head over to the Ko-fi or Patreon page, where you can also vote on the alternative path of season 1. The Hardpire is written and produced by me, Audrey Machter. Thank you for listening.